And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe it for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Join with me as we ask God to bless this study of his word. Father, we thank you that through your Son, you have spoken in these last days a word that continues to come to us whenever your word is read, taught, and preached. And we come expectant that you will speak to us again this morning. And we also come asking that by your Spirit you would give us the ears to hear what you have to say to us as a church and as individuals, members of the church. Father, we pray for this spiritual understanding, for the Spirit to receive this word and to hold fast to it. We ask this believing as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if we have any photographers here, but perhaps even if you're not a photographer, you understand or know about time-lapse photography. Well, that was used by a photographer in South Sudan, where we used to serve. And one of the ministries that we started there was a radio station. And as the tower was being erected, a photographer came and took pictures over the 3 days as the elements were being added on this tower. And when he did a video of a 10-second clip, it showed the tower rising within 10 seconds in that video. Now imagine something that has not been developed yet, it will never be developed, but if a camera would be able to actually look into hearts, the hearts of even those listeners there of that radio station. We've been amazed in what God's done with that radio station and the reach of the radio station, 100-kilometer radius, and hundreds of thousands of loyal listeners. And as they listen, as they hear the word, what if a camera were to see what would happen with that seed as it is broadly sown in the hearts of the listeners, of the hearers of the radio station. Now, picture Dinka people sitting in their compounds listening to their radio station as the word is being sown in their hearts, or businessmen sitting in their markets listening to the word and it's sown into their hearts, or these handheld fixed-tune radios that were distributed and wearing them around their necks as they walk to the fields as they're hearing the word. But people here, there, and here, hear the word of God in different ways. There are different kinds of hearers. There are those who hear the word, but their hearts are hardened, so they don't even actually receive the word. There are those who are just shallow, superficial hearers of the word. There are those who hear, but are distracted by the things of the world. But there are those who hear the word and receive it and hold on to it. It's the same here, even here today. It's the same with all of us. When we hear the word, we ask ourselves the questions, what kind of hearer are we? And this is exactly what Jesus is touching on here in this parable. He's answering the question, why are there so many different hearers? Why are there so many different responses to the word? And the answer to that question is here in this parable. At the height of Jesus' popularity, as crowds were gathering around to hear him teach, Jesus taught the crowds in parables. And we have here Jesus standing not on a hill, but the crowds were so big and so full coming from the towns that he actually had to move into the Lake of Galilee into a boat as they were standing on the seashore or the shore of Lake Galilee. And we also read in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark that as he was telling these parables, that he was sitting in that boat, and he was telling parables like this one here, the parable of the sower. It could also be called the parable of soils. There are different kinds of soils or different kinds of hearers. And Jesus taught in parables, especially with this one here, because he wanted to differentiate the kinds of hearers. This is what a parable is. It is using an earthly story to speak of heavenly things, spiritual meaning to these parables. Now, on this day that he was teaching this parable, the people would have grown tired and hungry, and all who was left at the end of that day were Jesus' disciples. And they asked Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable of the sower? And he answers this question. Jesus says in verse 10, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. You see, there in these parables, there are secrets of the kingdom where they are only known, those secrets are only known to those to whom it has been given. Concealed to some and revealed to others. Jesus then quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 in this verse, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not hear. Some hear, some see, and some do not. So then why did Jesus speak in parables? It was so that he could differentiate and distinguish the different kinds of hearers. And the message of this parable of the sower again tells us four different kinds of hearers, and only one of them will actually yield fruit. When we were training church planters in South Sudan, we used this parable of the sower to teach on evangelism, to explain to them the principles of the harvest, that as you go and sow the word of God, only some of them will actually persevere and bear fruit. Some of them will be hardened. Others will be shallow responders to the word, and others will be distracted. But only some will yield fruit. Now, today, we're not speaking of others that you are going out to sow the seed with, whether family and friends, and the different responses that they will have. Today, we want to look at our own hearts. Your own heart. How do you hear the word? What kind of hearer are you? So ask yourself that question as we focus on these four types of hearers. And you will only know the kind of hearer that you are by seeing the yield in your life. So the first kind of hearer is the hardened hearer. This is the seed that falls along the path. In verse 5, Jesus speaks of a sower that goes out and sows the seed. And as he sows, some of the seed fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Farming in that day was very simple. The farmer would go out with a bag of seed and take a handful of seeds and scatter it on the field. In the field, there would be these footpaths that people, as they would walk through the field, they would make this path. And so some of those seeds would be scattered on the path. And as people would travel on that path, they would trample those seeds underfoot, while the birds of the air would see those seeds exposed and would also snatch them up. Now Jesus provides the meaning of this parable in verse 11. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. In verse 12, the ones that fall along the path are those who have heard the word. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. We often forget that the devil is present anytime the word of God is sown. And his plan, his purpose, is to snatch away the seed whenever that seed is sown, seeking to be planted in the heart. We should not be ignorant of the devil's devices, his schemes, even as the word is preached here now, to take away the seed before it is planted. We can only blame the devil, for we know in our own hearts how they can be hard to the word. When Isaiah spoke of God's people, God's covenant people, actually it was the Lord who spoke through him, saying to his own people, "These people's hearts have become calloused. They become dull. They hardly hear with their ears, and their eyes have become closed." And these were many of the people that Jesus was preaching to, in the crowds that he was telling these parables to. See, sin hardens hearts. That's why for us who believe, who have had the word sown in our hearts, that we have this exhortation in Hebrews 3:13 to encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that we would not be deceived, hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives, and sin hardens the heart. So we exhort one another. Even though this here is not characterizing the believer, we understand that our own sin will harden the heart when sin is unconfessed, when we harbor the sin in our hearts. But this, Jesus is speaking particularly to those who actually don't have the ears to hear, who actually are blind and do not see. They do not understand. And so the devil comes, he snatches away the word so that they do not believe and are saved. There was a young lady in the church in Ottawa that grew up in that church, and one day, I remember, she brought an unbelieving friend to the church. And after the service, I asked this friend of hers what he thought of the message. And I was a young believer myself, and he said that he didn't understand anything that was happening or what was being said in the message. And as a young believer, I said bluntly, "That's because you are spiritually dead. Good theology, but not but much tact." But I would still say that that is true. We cannot believe, we cannot understand unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive the word. And so if you know you're this hearer, you can pray and plead with God to open your ears, your eyes, and heart to receive that word. But we know that sin hardens the heart. We also know that there are other kinds of hearers. The second kind of hearer is the one who has a shallow response, the shallow hearer. That's where the seed falls on the rock. In verse 6, Jesus speaks of the seed that fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, this is not soil that has pebbles, small rocks in it. This is thin soil over bedrock. So when the seed is sown, it germinates, but it has no moisture and no room to grow roots, and so it withers away. Even in the Gospel of Matthew, it speaks of the sun that scorches the plants because there's no moisture in the soil to take root. In verse 13, Jesus gives us the meaning of this kind of hearer. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, fall away. In the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, these are the people, say they receive the word with joy, they believe, they endure for a while, but temptation, testing, persecution, tribulation, when these come on account of the word, fall away. Immediately, this plant falls away. This is the shallow and superficial hearer. There is a response. There is a receiving. There is joy. But then after opposition, because of the word, they fall away. And this is because people do not expect these things to come. When you disciple a new believer, do you tell them that they will face trials, tribulations, temptations, persecution, so that they will not be surprised when these things come? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Testing will come. Temptations will come. Tribulations will come. Persecution will come. What do we expect it? It is to be expected. Peter says in his first letter, do not be surprised by these things. James, as we know, says, count it all joy when various trials come into our lives. We are to expect these things, but the shallow here doesn't expect it. There's only joy for a time. But when these things come, joy vanishes and they fall away. This is a different kind of joy, isn't it, than the joy of a true believer. A joy, though it fluctuates, it's still a joy in the Lord. It will stand the test of the winds of tribulation and testing. But how do we stand as believers with joy? Do you remember in Ottawa, I don't think it came to Elmont here, but there are several tornadoes that whipped through the city, and whole trees were ripped out from their roots, out of the ground. Do we stand like some of those trees that stood against those tornadoes? Do we stand when the winds of tribulation and affliction and adversity come into our lives? Standing with joy in the Lord. How do we do that? It is when their roots are dug deep with trust in the Lord, in His Word, so that we can stand and rejoice. Let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. As the one who is blessed because he trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Verse 8, he's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You see, the fruit, even the fruit of joy, comes from the root that is dug deeply into the Lord, in trusting the Lord? Are you the shallow kind of hearer that doesn't stand? Or the one that trusts the Lord and stands in the face of opposition because of the word? Well, perhaps you're like the distracted hearer, the third kind of hearer. Not so much the shallow hearer, but now the distracted hearer, where the seed is sown among the thorns. In verse 7, Jesus speaks of the seed that fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and then choked the plant. What are these thorns that Jesus speaks of? In verse 14, he says, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This here also does not bear fruit that will last because of thorns. Now, the Gospel of Matthew tells us more about these thorns. These are the cares, the worries, the anxieties of life, or the deceitfulness of riches. The Gospel of Matthew, we read the desires of other things. All of these things that surround the plant, that grow up with it, will choke and choke and choke the plant. Jesus, who spoke to these crowds, he knew what was in the hearts of these hearers. He knew the cares, the anxieties, the desires that weighed the people down, that filled their hearts and choked these plants as they grew. So Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions." Isn't that true? Paul speaks, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, that if we have food and clothing, with these we should be content. Am I content with those basic things in my life? Do I find myself, which I do at times, saying, just adding this one more thing, and then realizing you're just surrounded by stuff, things that crowd into our lives, anxieties that enter in, worries, concerns, more desires for the things of this world that crowd and choke. I tell people that it is harder to live in this environment, in this culture, in this society, than it is where we used to live, in the simplicity of South Sudan. It's harder here because of so many distractions, so many things vying for our attention and our desires. Remember Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 13 years in prison with only the Lord with him in the prison cell. And he remembers how in the time of when in Romania, when it was a communist Romania, when it was not a freak Romania, it was a time of persecution, where he saw so many believers standing firm against the persecution. But when Romania opened to the world, the pleasures of the world, the prosperity of the world, he saw those same people fall away. It's harder to live in this environment than it is in opposition. What are those thorns? These are things we worry about, the things we desire, the things that we long after, the things that bring us things that are convenient, comfortable for us, safety, ease, the stuff that may be permissible in our lives. But we need to ask ourselves the question, is it profitable for our souls? Do we prosper with them? And as we think of the next thing to have, or the worries that we have, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Life's cares, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things, they can take control. They can consume us until they choke us like thorns. What do we do with these thorns? Some of you may have a weed whacker. How do they do with thorns? It's called a whacker because it whacks the thorn. It doesn't deal with the root of the problem. We take a trowel. We do the hard work, putting on gloves, even though it's prickly and hard. We deal with the thorns at the root to truly get rid of them. It's the same in our lives. We repent. We recognize those things that are crowding around us, and we repent of those things. We dig them out. We uproot them out of our lives so that they don't crowd and they don't snuff out the life out of us. Because those things will, if we give way to them, it will affect our growth, our faith, and the very life that we have in Christ. But if we allow those roots, if we dig those roots into Christ, we will see that we will bear much fruit. And this is the hearer who bears fruit, the one who hears and holds. Not just hearing, but holding. And this is the seed that is sown into the good soil. In verse 8, some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as Jesus said these things, he called out, "He was ears to hear, let him hear." And then in verse 15, Jesus explains this good soil. They are those who hear the word, hold fast to it. Hold fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. And it's very interesting when we look at the Gospel of Matthew and Mark to see it's not just hearing and holding, but it's also hearing, as Matthew says, understanding the word. That means having insight, spiritual insight into the word. And then also accepting the word, as the Gospel of Mark says, accept the word, welcoming the word, receiving the word. And then here in Luke, it says also to retain it, to hold fast to it. Hear and hold. And this is the one who continues in faith after hearing the word, persevering, enduring until the end, until there is 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. This is the heart of faith. You know that faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Hearing the word and believing the word. And faith looks like this. If we take all of these, this understanding of hearing the word from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. First of all, it's hearing and understanding with that insight. It's hearing and accepting with that receiving. It's hearing, and let me just quote here, with receiving. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it speaks of the church in Thessalonica, how when they heard the word, they accepted it not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, which is the word that was in them as they believed. That's the kind of hearing. It's hearing and accepting. And then thirdly, hearing and holding fast. That's retaining it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2, "Now I remind you, brothers, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Hearing and holding fast, that is faith. That is receiving the word with faith, with patient endurance, until you see the fruit of faith with a harvest. And here's the principle. To the measure that you hear and hold is a measure to which you will bear fruit. So Jesus says, be careful how you hear. And Jesus said also in verse 18, take care how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Be careful how we hear. In South Sudan, we see so much prosperity, potential of prosperity in South Sudan with agriculture. And some businessmen are seeing the potential. And so what they do is they hire a farmer to go out into a field, to clear the field, to sow the seed, to weed the field, and then wait for the harvest. At the harvest time, the businessman will call the farmer to give an account for the yield. If the farmer was given one sack of groundnuts, and if the farmer comes back with only one sack of groundnut, then you think the businessman will hire him again? But if he comes back with 3, 6, 9 times more than what was invested, he might hire him again. Imagine Jesus says that the yield in our lives can be 30, 60, and 100-fold. Do we have any farmers here? Could ever see a crop like a bumper crop like that? 30, 60, 100. That's the yield of those who hear and hold the word. We've been given much, and much will be required of us. We're accountable to all that we hear, not just here, but also when we read the Word of God at home. As this Word of God is sown into our hearts, where is the yield? I ask myself, when I've listened to thousands of sermons, where is the fruit? There should be so much more fruit in my life. Do you ask yourself that question? Then now you know. To the measure that you hear and hold the word is the measure that you will bear fruit, and much fruit. If we had a camera that could show our hearts, your heart, under the surface, the soil that is there, what would it expose? Would it see a hardened heart? Would it see shallow response to the word, where the roots are very shallow? Would it see thorns surrounding in the plant in your heart? Or would it see good soil? And what is that good soil? Jesus says the good soil is a good and honest heart. Who has a good and honest heart? Unless you are united with Jesus, the one who gives you a new heart. That when you are united with him, who lived a life of perfect hearing, he had the ears to hear and he obeyed everything his father told him to do and say. And like a seed, he fell into the ground and died on the cross. But he rose again to new life. And whoever is united with him in his death and resurrection by faith and believing in him will bear fruit, and much fruit, to the extent, to the measure that you abide in him, that you are rooted in him, having trust in him, you will bear much fruit. Jesus is alive today. He is the living word to be sown in people's hearts so that you would be alive in him. So trust in him. And as you're united with him, bear much fruit. He's the Lord of the harvest. We can give him much glory with the fruit that we bear for his glory. Let's pray. Father, your word has gone out. Give us ears to hear. Help us to be careful not only here as we've received this word today now, but throughout this week, as we will then study your word, we would hear it, we would hold fast to it, we would seek to understand it, we will accept it as it is, the very word of God, and we will, by your grace, persevere in doing it. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that they will be given the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the hearts to receive your word, the full measure, and to bear much fruit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.